1 Corinthians 3 this morning. I invite you to join me there, 1 Corinthians 3. If you want to use your scripture reading, you can do that. We'll go to a number of different passages this morning. I recognize that we looked at 1 Corinthians 3 a few months ago, but I want to return to this passage again this morning and consider some of the verses here, as I said, some verses in other places. This morning's sermon will be a little different in structure from those that I've preached, and we'll have a little bit longer introduction before we look at a number of scriptures. And this introduction, which is longer than normal, is really an announcement. It's an announcement which I would have never expected I would be making to you, but as a result of God's very clear direction, I am making. I've accepted an invitation to serve as an assistant pastor at a church in Pennsylvania. Pastor Rob Campbell, Bethel Baptist Church in Sellersville, Pennsylvania, has asked me to join him there as an assistant pastor to help him lead their church to greater spiritual health. And with anticipation for the opportunities there, but with great sadness, for leaving you, I've accepted his offer. My apologies for reading this morning, but I think you'll understand why. It'll keep me from rambling. It'll keep us from being here too long. I know that this news, particularly on a Sunday morning, is not what you came to hear. This news seems to hang in the air and fall on the floor with an impending thud. Particularly if you're visiting with us this morning, I imagine you are taken aback at what you're hearing. My friends, this is life here at BCC as God has planned it for this time. And so we will strive with the Spirit's help to live obediently with Christ in view, to run to Christ at this time as we should at all times. Right now, questions, speculations, uncertainty, ideas, and conclusions come flooding to mind. And so this morning I will seek to answer many of those questions. I'll endeavor to nip speculations in the bud, and I will strive to calm uncertainties and lead us to an accurate and biblical set of conclusions. At times like this, the tendency can be to be brief and vague. And my aim this morning, and what I'm about to say, is to be honest, to be transparent, to be respectful, and to be pastoral to the very end. Probably the first questions that come to mind, the first question that comes to mind is the question, why? And that's a fair one, which deserves an honest answer. I believe there are two primary reasons. Excuse me. The first reason is this. As the only pastor of Bible Community Church, quite honestly, the demands and the scopes are too much for me and my family at this stage of life. If the children were grown and it was just Christy and I, she would probably kick me out of the house and tell me to come work more. But that's not the situation we're in. The kids are here. And for almost 6 years, I have pastored alone. And I knew that was the situation when I came. There is no doubt. Some things to think about in terms of historical perspective. Before I came, Pastor Spence pastored along with Pastor Ashbrook, who assisted him by making visits and preaching on occasion. Pastor Ashbrook taught Sunday school every week also. At that time, just before I came, the attendance was 170, 160. And so for those number of attendees, there was one, and if I could put it this way, one and a half pastors, or one and a third, as Pastor Ashbrook was in retirement but still involved. Before that, Andy Rupert was an assistant, and there were a couple hundred people, and so you had Pastor Spence full-time, Pastor Rupert full-time, and Pastor Ashbrook helping part-time. So two and a half or two and a third pastors. And that ratio of pastors to people was much lower than it's been for the last 6 years. Our attendance has moved up and it's moved down, but the ratios are still far different. And having thought about this as objectively as I can, and having communicated with others the care of the people and bearing the entire preaching and teaching load along with the other pastoral duties is not one that I can sustain and give you the best pastoral care or give the time and attention that my family needs at this stage of our life. I want to be sure, though, to say that I appreciate and I thank God for the work that the elders have been doing, bringing devotions on Wednesday nights, and the chances we've had to team teach in Sunday school. All that said, though, at this time and at this stage, I cannot work alone, but I need to work with a team. The second reason, and the final reason I'll give this morning for moving to an assistant pastor position with another church, is that I believe that you need someone different to lead you. For many months, I have wondered if I'm the right man to shepherd Bible Community Church. I have spoken about this with the elders on a number of occasions, and it is not false modesty. It's a question I cannot get away from. The relationships and the respect necessary for a pastor and congregation to move together toward greater spiritual vitality do not seem to be present after 6 years together. This is not to say that there is no relationship and no respect. No, there certainly is in so many cases. But taken as a whole, there is not the sufficient relationship and sufficient respect for us to move forward together. I recognize that my own sin and weakness has contributed to this. And we must recognize that others' sins have contributed to this as well. Sorting out who bears what percentage of the blame is not helpful at this time. But we recognize the facts as they are. I believe it is in your soul's best interest for someone else to shepherd you. At this point, it is vital for you to understand the elders have not asked me to leave. And those of you who were here at the annual meeting are more aware of that than I am, as there was much conversation while Christy and I were out. And I'm grateful for their support, even when I had questions about my fitness here. I listened to their perspectives, but as the months went by, it seemed evident that the Lord had another place for us to be. Another question that begs an answer is how? How did this all happen? Have you been looking? And the short, accurate answer to that last question is a clear no. No, I have not been looking. I'd like to work through a timeline with you in a way that briefly gives you the pertinent details so you can have confidence that this decision was made in a wise and a transparent way. Around May 1st, I called Pastor Rob Campbell, the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Sellersville. I called him to talk about an applicant who had listed him as a reference on his MCS teacher application. After we talked about the applicant, our conversation turned to our pastorates. Both of our churches have seen significant portions of people leave in the last 18 to 24 months. And we talked about reasons for people leaving. We talked about things the Lord has taught us. We talked about things that pastors talk about when they call each other on the phone. There was no talk of me going anywhere else, and our call ended. About a month after that, on June the 3rd, Rob called me to ask if I had ever thought about serving a different church as an assistant pastor. He asked me to consider exploring this and talking with him about being his assistant. Given the fact that for a number of months I had had questions about whether or not someone else should shepherd Bible Community Church, his call was something I could not ignore. I told him I would give it thought and consideration and get back with him. Just a couple days later, I spoke with a couple of pastor friends who have been tremendously helpful counselors. Both of these pastors know me, and they know you, and they know our church. They've always shot straight with me. I ask for their advice regarding ethical ways of considering this request and proceeding. This was vital to me because whether I was going or staying, God demands and you deserve integrity from me. Over the following next week to 10 days, Rob and I had extensive conversations by phone to get to know each other better. We had met in college or were aware of each other in college, never friends per se. We'd seen each other last in 1998, and so there was a lot of water under the bridge, so to say. These conversations we had covered a myriad of topics, as you might expect, and we learned about each other's ministry philosophies better. By the middle of June, Pastor Rob had spoken to men who know me well as to his church leadership. As a result of those conversations, he invited me and my family to visit Bethel Baptist Church so that we could talk more in person and learn more about the church and its other ministries. One item of note to mention here is that Bethel Baptist Church does not vote on its assistant pastors. The senior pastor has the prerogative to hire his pastoral staff, so there really is no candidating process per se. Rob and I talked, I believe, on a Monday, June the 16th, and on Wednesday, 2 days later, June the 18th, I told the elders about Rob's invitation for me and my family to visit, and together the elders and I made plans accordingly. Between the middle of June and the middle of July, when we visited, there were more conversations with Pastor Campbell and then with other men who had worked with him or for him or knew of him. And so a couple weeks ago, on the weekend of July 13th, our family visited Bethel Baptist Church. Christy and I spent an extensive amount of time with Pastor Rob and his wife Rochelle, with other pastoral staff, with school leadership, and with other church leaders. On Monday, as we met to review the weekend, Pastor Rob offered me the position of assistant pastor. And the next day on Tuesday, I called him and accepted his offer. The day after that, I met with the elders and informed them of my decision. That was a week ago Wednesday, and for the last two Wednesdays, we have worked together on planning for this announcement, for tonight's service, and for the search for an interim pastor. As I go through this timeline, I want all of us to understand the reasons in the timeline. I want us all to understand, young people included, that Christy and I are not running away from something. With God's direction, we're going to something. For the good of my family and for the good of you, we've made this choice. Young people, I love you. I love your parents. And God is working out these situations for your spiritual growth, for your parents' spiritual growth, for my family's spiritual growth, and even for mine. Having had multiple pastors growing up, God used each one to shape my soul and point me to Jesus in different ways, but in vital ways. Needless to say, this has been very difficult for me because I know this is very difficult for you. Because I was first contacted in June, the whole time frame for this has been much shorter than I would have thought best. But I did not have control over when the request came. Pastor Rob did. But beyond Pastor Rob's doing is the Lord's doing. That is not accidental. I can tell you that even in the last 48 hours, seeing how the Lord is bringing things together gives me even greater confidence in what I say to you today. It doesn't give me any greater joy in leaving, but it gives me confidence that this is what the Lord has for you, and this is what the Lord has for me. You'll hear more about that later on. This is difficult because I'm aware of the work that this means for the elders, for the school board, and for Mr. Davis. I assure you, if I could be in two places at once, I would. And obviously, we recognize that is not possible. Furthermore, we must recognize that at this time, as the Lord is moving me and my family out of the picture, He will enable the men and women here to accomplish the tasks necessary for the health of this church. The plan we as elders, along with the pulpit committee, have come up with is that I will continue to serve as your pastor until Sunday, August the 10th. While it would have seemed better for me to have informed you last week, as elders, we did not believe it would have been appropriate to make this announcement the same day that Mike and Faith were here telling us about the church in Mexico City. And so the announcement comes today. I'm also aware of the fact that this is something that Christy and I have been thinking about for almost 2 months. And this is something that the elders have known as a possibility for almost 6 weeks. And so the six of us, Christy, me, and the elders, have had much time to process this. But you are hearing about it for the first time right now. And there is, understandably, the great likelihood that there are a number of questions going through your mind right now, and that's understandable. All of us who have been involved in this decision have had more than 20 minutes, 15 minutes to think about it. So in order to give you the opportunity to ask those questions, a portion of tonight's service will be a time for question and answer. After we gather around the Word and after we pray together, thinking about our future together, we will take questions, both myself and the pulpit committee. I hope you'll come back tonight. I hope you'll come back as we can share more information then. I hope you'll come back as the afternoon will give us some time to let some haze clear. In decisions like this, I think all of us just wish that there was a Bible verse to go to. But we know there is not. And so Christy and I are thankful that the Lord has worked in our hearts in unmistakable ways to keep us from being selfish as we made this decision. God has given grace so that our prayers and actions have been, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We thank the Lord for good counselors who have given us wise counsel, helping us to see things objectively and scripturally. Counselors here and counselors outside of here. We thank the Lord for acts of providence that have helped us glimpse where God is directing our path. Not every exit ramp God puts in our journey is one He wants us to take, but He does make some very clear. We have sought to acknowledge the Lord, and we are confident He is leading our path. And now it is time for us to turn to the Scriptures. For not only do questions arise at a time like this, but so do reactions and emotions. And those reactions and emotions must be governed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. This morning I want to note three different reactions. There certainly could be more. There certainly probably are more, but I've sought to keep it simple by noting just three. And these three different reactions are not emotions that we would necessarily have one right after the other. They might be things that we're feeling all at once. I want to talk about these emotions or reactions because these lead to actions, and we must let God and His Word govern that. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer." Emotions lead to thoughts, and thoughts lead to words. And at all times, our words are important, but particularly at times like this, times of transition and uncertainty, our words are even more important. And so as we talk about this event in our church's history today at the dinner table, this afternoon, and in coming days and weeks, we must do so with thoughts, emotions, and words governed by the Spirit and not the flesh. One possible reaction we'll have this morning is understanding or being glad. That may sound strange, but we can be glad for Bible Community Church this morning. If you look at 1 Corinthians 3, I want to show you why that is possible. 1 Corinthians 3:5 says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul?" And together we answered in our responsive reading this morning, "Servants, through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Typically, we look at this simply as a description of evangelism, and so I believe it is. But I believe it also refers to the spiritual growth that occurs after conversion. Consider these words from Acts 18. "When Apollos arrived in Corinth, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed." Paul evangelized, and Paul evangelized, and Apollos came after him. And he helped these believers. And God says, one planted, one watered, and he, God, gave the increase. Paul, as we read in our New Testament, was not the most impressive guy, and the Corinthians reacted against him at times. Apollos, on the other hand, had many of the qualities that would make the Corinthians impressed. And God directed both of these men to be a part of the Corinthian believers' spiritual formation and growth. But neither of these men was the ultimate cause of their growth. The verses here say that God was. God made them flourish. God made them abound and excel in every spiritual gift, as you read in 1 Corinthians 1. And Paul, through this letter, was doing some more planting and watering so they would grow in unity and purity and love. God is not done with the believers at Bible Community Church. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And for many of you, that started with Pastor Ashbrook and it continued with Pastor Spence. And God has allowed that to continue with me in the last 6 years. And it will not stop in the future. For some of you, Pastor Spence watered, planted, and I watered, and God gives the increase. And some of you came and were affected by my pastorate. And the reality is that for many of us, there are pastors whose names we don't even know, but they planted in you and they watered in you and God gave the growth. In all these scenarios, God is doing the growth. And we are at a crossroads where I believe God wants you to pray for and select a pastor through whom God can continue to grow you. I believe in the biblical philosophy of relational evangelism and relational discipleship, which we have talked about much in the last 6 years. I would urge you to join me in praying that the Lord would give to you a pastor who would carry out that emphasis in his example and in his exposition. One guy plants, another guy waters. God gives the increase so we can be glad. Paul goes on to say in verse 9 and 10, Let each one take care how he builds upon the foundation. There's no other foundation which one can lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation that must be laid here and must be built upon is Jesus Christ, and this cannot be assumed. So the pulpit committee who selects and the congregation who votes must be diligent in identifying a man who will continually point you to Jesus Christ. Tradition, conservatism, progressivism, and pragmatics all vie for our allegiance as we look for a new pastor and we look to make church work. And what you need, my friends, is a pastor who will point you away from those methods of church building and who will point you to Jesus Christ as the foundation. Jesus is the only foundation stable enough for your souls. He can do what tradition cannot. He can do what new methods cannot. There is so much more that could be said here. Now is not the time. Pray, select, and vote for a pastor who will focus you on Jesus. Then we'll have a better understanding of God's good purpose. We can be glad for Bible Community Church, and you can be glad for us. Be glad for us being able to help another church grow in the Christian faith. I am simply a worker in God's field. I'm simply a worker on God's buildings. Yes, I wanted to be buried in a cemetery somewhere around here after serving you for many decades. But God's workers don't get to make their own assignments. They receive assignments. All of us can believe that it is better than what we would have planned for me to follow our assignment. We are not in Sellersville yet, so our hearts are here and our hearts will be here as long as our bodies are here. But we are looking forward to being there so that we can equip believers there to speak the truth in love and see Christ's body grow as it is connected in love. There are good opportunities there for our family, and I hope you will be glad for those as we strive to grow spiritually and help others do the same. You and Bethel are God's field. You and Bethel are God's building. And I will work for you every second that I am here. I promise to be available even after, should your leaders ask. You can be glad for us. Another possible reaction is frustration, or to be mad. You can be frustrated with your church here. You could say you people ran him out or something like that. That's not true. Leaving is my choice based upon what the Lord has done in my heart and in our family circumstances. Second, that raw emotion can easily provide your flesh an opportunity to cause harm to this body. And so Paul's words in Ephesians 4 are important for us to consider this morning. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. There is no room for frustration. Because God forgives us on account of Jesus dying in our place, we can be forgiving, we can be kind, we can avoid bitterness. Yes, people have sinned against me, and I have sinned against people here. But the solution is not bitterness and slander. The solution is kindness and forgiveness. You see, bitterness and slander are what people do. Kindness and forgiveness is what God does in people. And so let us ask for the Spirit's help that we might be kind and forgiving. In your frustration, you might say, that's it, we're done, we're out of here. please do not use this as an opportunity to leave. We all recognize that this sort of situation seems to be the opportune time. But my friends, I don't think you've been here simply because I'm here, so I don't think you should leave simply because I'm not here. Yes, the pastor is an important part of the church, but you members who have covenanted together, you are here to help yourselves grow and to grow others. You have agreed to worship here. You have agreed to grow together here. You've agreed to bear each other's burdens. You're a vital part of the church. And as we so often need to be reminded, you are the church. If the building is wiped away tomorrow, Bible Community Church still exists. But if the people leave, there is no church. Do not leave out of frustration. Do not leave because there is transition. I can assure you that the pulpit committee's plans are going to give you the opportunity to grow in Christ. You'll hear more about that at the end of this sermon. Do not leave. Stay. Stay to support each other in a difficult time. Stay to encourage and pray for the elders in the pulpit committee to select a gospel-centered pastor. Stay to be equipped by your interim pastor and the pastor that will come after him. Stay because your allegiance is not to a person, but your allegiance is to Jesus. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 next? We can be frustrated with the church. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 how to deal with that emotion or that reaction. And there's the possibility that people could be frustrated or even mad at me. And I realize I have been an imperfect pastor. A couple of times this year I've acknowledged that before you and I've asked for your forgiveness. God has grown me. God has grown me over the last 6 years in ways I could not have imagined. And much of that growth has taken place in very private places. Seen some very ugly things about myself. Things for which Jesus died and things which may have hindered your spiritual growth. Brothers and sisters, this weighs heavy on me. We all want a do-over in life. We wish life were like a video game where you could hit reset and pretend that what just happened didn't happen. But my friends, to be mad at me will not stand up under the scrutiny of God's word. Verses like Hebrews 13:7 and 17 instruct us otherwise. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." If you let your eyes fall to verse 17, the author writes, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Pastors are Christians in the middle of their sanctification too. We must be further along than most. There is no doubt about that. 1 Timothy 3 demands that there be a high level of spiritual maturity. But it does not demand perfection. So neither should any church member. How should we respond when a pastor or elder sins in a way that does not disqualify him from being an elder? Perhaps we should ask, do we even have a category in our minds for that sort of situation? Or do we automatically think that any sin a pastor or elder commits disqualifies them and they are no longer, therefore, blameless? No. Highly mature Christians make mistakes and sin. And so we should be saddened when they sin. Not mad, but saddened. We should recognize that we are all in this fight together against evil. We should pray for our elders and our pastors' repentance as we pray for our own. We should pray for their victory over temptation as we pray for our own. We should take the log out of our eyes so that we can see clearly their problems. And if the Holy Spirit prompts us to talk with an elder about his sin, we will do so as the various New Testament scriptures instruct us to do. Dan, Alex, Jim, and Scott deserve respect because of how God has grown them. And they deserve and need that respect more and more during this time. And as you give them that respect, you will grow more as they lead better. Understanding, frustration, and the final reaction we'll consider this morning is sadness. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 16 in your Bibles, the last place we'll turn as we consider this final point. You're going to Matthew 16, I'm going to Acts chapter 20. And I'll catch up with you in Matthew 16 in a moment. Sadness. This morning you could be feeling sadness about us. Acts 20 says this, when Paul had said these things to the Ephesian elders, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken. They would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. If we are sad this morning, it means we have loved. And if we have loved because of the Spirit's influence in our lives, then God has been glorified. And we can say, look at what God did. Isn't God good? Isn't God gracious to have knit us together in this way? You will undoubtedly believe that Christy and I have shed tears already thinking about today. And together with many of you, we will shed more tears before August the 10th. And looking at Acts chapter 20, we see that sometimes God's people do just need to cry together as we recognize the divergent paths He is leading us on. And that's okay. You could be sad about us, and you could also be sad about Bible Community Church. If that's the case, I want you to consider Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus has asked who people say he is, and various answers have been given. And Jesus asks, who do you, disciples, say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are a piece of gravel, Peter. And on this rock, myself, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Local churches grow and shrink and grow and shrink. When you consider the churches of the book of Acts, when you consider the churches that are addressed in those New Testament letters, in Galatia, Colossae, etc. When you think about the seven churches of the book of Revelation, the fact is that hardly any of them exist today. And even fewer of them have had an unbroken existence since the day the Holy Spirit started them 2,000 years ago. But Jesus' church is unstoppable. Grow, shrink, disappear. And Jesus' church is unstoppable. this may seem of little comfort given our present circumstance, but it is of the utmost comfort in all circumstances, including this one. When a local church is growing in spiritual health or numerical growth, it is of vital importance to realize the reason for that growth. It's not the people there, it's not the pastor there, it's because Jesus' church is unstoppable. And when a local church is shrinking in spiritual health or numerical growth, it is vital to remember that this is not the end. The end is the end. And in the end, the book of Revelation says that Jesus' church is unstoppable. And like so many other things that God does, this does not make sense to us. It does not make sense that God would make His church unstoppable when His children do so many things that undermine it. Church members hop from church to church. Pastors disqualify themselves through greed. Evangelists run off with another woman. These things happen, and so many other things happen that are so different. Church members disciple their children and entrust them to God for conversion and sanctification. Pastors stay true to the gospel in the limelight and in the shadows. And missionaries take the gospel to unreached places in creative ways, and they found church planting movements that last decades after the torturous political regimes do, which sought to squelch them and eradicate them. You see, in God's mysterious way, He uses the checkered obedience of His children to build an unstoppable force that is the church. And when He does it that way, He gets the glory. There's a reason that coaches of ragtag teams get so much credit. Those kinds of teams aren't supposed to win. My friends, Jesus is the captain of a ragtag team, and that's us. And He has promised in His word to lead us to victory. The gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ. And so our aim, our striving, our goal must be to make sure that Bible Community Church is a church that Jesus can build His other churches with and through. These words in Revelation can be most helpful. Fear not, Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I die, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Our captain went into the locker room, and he took their game plan. And this does not mean we're over. This just means there's a new play, and Jesus will win. And so if you are sad about Bible Community Church, please do not let that sadness turn into despair, for there is no room for despair when we remember by faith, despite what we see, that Jesus' church is unstoppable. The Scriptures say it, and 2,000 years of church history prove it. You may be glad, you may be mad, you might be sad. My prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit would guide your thoughts and your emotions so that above all, Jesus is seen in our lives. We have been predestined to be conformed to Jesus' image. Let's bow. I'd like for us to take some time to respond to God the Spirit in prayer. To do that, I would encourage you to take the emotion or the feeling that you have right now and compare it to what the Scriptures say. I would encourage you to ask God to give you His mind. If you need to confess and ask forgiveness, then do so as the Holy Spirit has convicted you. If you're battling or fighting temptation, ask God to give you help, to give you His mind. Take a couple of moments to pray now as we go silent. Heavenly Father, we always need you. But at times like this, it becomes more apparent. Thank you that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you have promised, Jesus, to be with us to the end of the age. May we believe those promises. May we claim them for your glory and for your credit. May we claim them so that our lives would reflect what you have done in them. May your word guide our thoughts and our emotions this day and in the days to come. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.